Blog Talk Radio.
Going to go ahead and be loud. Right. We're just going to kill it. Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio New Year's Eve. Or no, New Year's Day. Sorry. Day late, dollar short. And welcome to, Soylent Green Year 2022. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here, along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And I'm here. We're here along with
Happy New Day to all of you. This is CW figuring out how to corner the market in Soylent Green.
There you go. Just stick them in the wood chipper like in Fargo, and there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know?
Don't you know? Oh, yeah. Put a little ketchup on it, it'll be fine.
She was great in that movie. She was absolutely awesome.
Hey, William H. Macy was pretty funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, he was great.
Although I do like him as the shoveler.
The shoveler,
oh,
yes. Yeah.
Mystery man. Yeah.
I shovel very well.
I like the invisible, or he wasn't invisible. Yeah, yeah.
And we're shoveling out the New Year cheer with two, count them, two, old classic radio shows, and maybe some additional fun to start off 2022 the right way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what's the new year without a little bit of drama, huh?
Depends.
Absolutely. Indeed.
It's some drama I could live without. But old-time radio drama is great.
Oh, and How to Do and Happy New Year Day to Fox Bane and good old Bob.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. Yep, and as good old Bob says, ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
And if I may be so bold as to say Happy New Year Day to our devotee in Sweden. Hello. Thank you.
Yes. Very much so.
And, yeah, I was speechless. I mean, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah, it isn't. I've tried for a long time. Yeah. Not very often can I do that.
Yeah, so 2022 is starting out good already. Ooh, ouch. Okay.
But yeah, we got a couple wonderful tales from Big Town. We've shared one of those before. And Gunsmoke, we've shared like two of those before, I believe.
Yep.
I know we did a Thanksgiving show. And I'm not sure what else. I was busy shooting turkeys in that one.
So
Kid was busy shooting turkeys.
Big Town, yep. Does that mean Edward G. is dropping by once again?
It does not. Edward G. started on the series in 1938, stayed with it for 5 years. A couple cast members left, and he was one of them, left because he really – at first it was Big Town was really a very poignant. I mean, they did a program on child abuse in an orphanage, and the network would only let them describe it, where they said, you know what, it'd be more effective. So they went straight to the sponsor, which was Lieber Brothers, and explained exactly how and why it was. And that wouldn't be gratuitous, but that it would really prove the point a lot stronger if they could demonstrate it a bit. on the radio, and the sponsor said, overrode the network and said, yes, you need to do it that way. But that after about 5 years, the poignancy of those shows that were written just kind of turned into a Crime Busters type show, because it was about Steve, who was, I guess, a crusading newspaper writer, may have been the editor as well, but it lost its poignancy, but still lasted after he left. Actually, so he was there for 5 years, from 38 to be 43. He also kind of left because his movie career was really picking up, and then it still lasted till about 1952, I believe.
Oh wow! Yep. Nicely done. Yeah.
Yeah, and both shows, we want to get kind of moving along here, so we can get smash in some additional content tonight.
Ooh.
And let's begin with Big Town. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Since we had a little bit of background on that one, why not start with that? Unfortunately, I do have one with Edward G. Robinson that I really do have. I think one program has Edward G. Robinson, another has Jimmy Cagney, and a suspense in one of the very few radio appearances that he made. But this one is not with. This one is not. I tell you what, when we get to it, that Jimmy Cagney one is a very touching story.
But this one is very, very good, called The Dangerous Resolution from Big Town, and the date is
December 28th of 1948.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town.
Extra, extra, hero all about the case of the Dangerous Resolution. Tonight's Big Town story brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now, Big Town and Steve Wilson's exciting story captioned Dangerous Resolution. When a man plans a New Year's resolution to quit the rackets, deadly complications can develop. And such is the background of this fast-moving story of hijackers. It began in a diner in the warehouse district of Big Town as a young truck driver sat talking to Vicki Mason, a waitress in the place.
How about another cup of coffee, Van?
No, thanks, Vicki. Look, you ain't busy now. Listen a minute, honey.
I'm tired of listening to your promises, Van.
You still sore about seeing me with that Bubbles dame the other night?
No, I'm not jealous of that hen-headed burlesque stripper. I know she's Silky Martin's girl. And I know why you were out with her.
All right, why?
Because Silky is using her to soft soap you into hustling trucks for him.
Why shouldn't I drive a truck for Silky once in a while? He pays big dough. More for one night's work than I could get in a week pushing a 10-tonner for a company outfit.
Because there's something crooked about it, or Silky wouldn't pay you that kind of money.
Maybe so, but what's it matter as long as I don't do anything but drive the trucks?
Because one of these nights, Silky Martin's going to pull a fast one, and you're going to be in the middle of a mess.
Oh, now, Vicky.
Please, Van, you're one of the best drivers in Big Town. You could get a job any place with good, steady money every week and not get into trouble.
Sure, I know,
please,
but you don't...
Please, Van, for your mother's sake and mine. She's worried, frightened.
Now, listen, Vicki, I'm doing this for Ma's sake, so she won't have to scrub floors and office buildings for the rest of her life.
Oh, she doesn't want that kind of money, Van.
What about you? We can get married quicker.
Please, Van, I don't want that kind of money or that kind of a marriage. Please.
Okay, honey. That settles it. I'm doing a job for Silky tonight, but this will be the last.
Oh, no, Van, no. Quit now.
Oh, I can't, Vicki. I promise, Silky, but I'll make you a promise, too. I'll make a New Year's resolution to quit hustling trucks for Silky and then get a regular job.
No, Van, please. I have a scared feeling something's going to happen. quit now, tonight.
I can't. Oh, here, Silky. Now, don't say anything. And I promise this is my last haul. My New Year's resolution, honey.
Hi, Van.
Hello, Silky.
Hi, beautiful.
Hello.
Now, what kind of New Year's resolutions are you lovebirds making, huh?
We were just talking about...
Get married right after the New Year, Silky.
Oh, fine. Congrats.
Thanks.
Draw me a cup of Java. Bridey.
Cream and sugar?
With everything, beautiful. I always take everything.
Yes, I know. Everything you can lay your hands on for nothing.
Your babe don't like me, Van.
Well, don't let it cut your sleep.
Oh, I won't. And don't let it cut yours.
What's the job for tonight?
You're subbing for a driver on a load of silk.
Now, look, Silky, is this a hijack?
What you don't know won't hurt you. And a piece of pie, sweetheart.
What kind?
Lemon. And keep your finger out of it. I don't like it that sour.
Very funny.
I thought so.
Look, Silky. Huh? This is my last job for you.
Oh, yeah? How come?
I'm getting a regular job after tonight.
Oh?
Yeah.
Okay. How about getting started on this one?
All right. But let's go get it done.
You go out to my car. Monk's there. He'll prime you on where you're to take the load.
Uh-huh.
I'll be out as soon as I've had my pie and coffee. If I ever get served in this dump...
Here. You've got it.
I gotta go, Vicky. I'll come by and take you home. When you're through, honey.
Oh, Van, wait.
Let him go, baby. Let the guy make a buck for your trousseau. For the torso.
You're not funny, Silky.
You're a punk waitress. Spill my coffee. Come here and mop it up.
Mop it up yourself. With a napkin. Here.
Listen, you...
Let go of my hand.
When I'm through telling you that I need Van in my business.
A dirty business. Crooked business.
It's my business, and you're gumming the works.
How?
You're a good influence on that truck hustler, and that's bad for my business.
Yeah, I'm glad. Because he's through with you after tonight.
Look, nobody gets through with me until I'm through with them, baby. So you'll listen.
I'm listening.
I got a notion you've been listening to Van flapping his lip about my operations.
Racket. And let go of my hand.
Call it what you like, baby, but keep your teeth shut or you won't have any left to go with that kissable mouth of yours.
You dirty dog. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Wilson.
Hello, Flora. Come in.
Sorry, Mr. Wilson. I thought you'd gone for the night and I'd clean up your office.
I have a lot of foreign dispatches to check, but come in anyway, Flora. Close the door on those infernal and eternal telepacks.
Sure, but won't I be disturbing you?
No, just empty the wastebasket and leave the rest of the mess. I don't mind it.
You look tired, Mr. Wilson. You oughtn't to work so long and so hard and so late.
Well, that's fine advice coming from you, Flora. When's that boy of yours going to settle down and let you make a home for him?
Van's a good boy, Mr. Wilson. He gives me money every week and wants me to quit scrubbing floors, but I'm saving his money so that nice girl Vicky Mason and Van can get married soon.
Well, I hope they appreciate what you're doing for them. Flora.
Vicky does, but she's worried about Van not taking a steady job.
Well, you're worried, too, Flora. What's he doing?
Well, special night driving for some fella called Silky Martin.
Silky Martin?
Yes.
I've heard that name somewhere.
Vicky knows him and... Well, she thinks he's mixing Van up in some kind of racket.
Wait a minute. Doesn't your boy drive heavy-duty trucks?
Oh, yes. He learned in the Army and he's the best. By last summer, he won a contest. Driving and backing and turning them big monsters as easy as he did his express wagon when he was a little boy.
Well, that takes real skill, Flora. He should be able to get a steady job with any of the big-time trucking companies.
Yes, I know, but war made him kind of restless. He just don't seem able to settle down to anything steady.
Yes. A lot of the vets feel that way. It's hard to relearn to plan for long-time living when you become conditioned to the idea that tonight or tomorrow may be your last. Excuse me, Flora. Yes, Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Mr. Wilson, did I not see Flora Anders go in your office to clean up?
You did, Mamie. Why?
Well, there's a girl phoning in, and she says it's terribly awful important. She talks with Flora right away.
Well, put her on, Mamie. Flora can take the call here.
Yes, sir, but I did not know if I should disturb you.
Well, I've been disturbed by experts. Put the girl on, maybe.
Yes, sir.
Here, Flora, some girl is calling you, says it's very important to take the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry to be disturbing you like this, Mr. Wilson. Hello? Hello?
Mrs. Anders, it's me, Vicky.
What is it, Vicky?
I'm afraid something has happened to Van.
To Van? Oh, no.
Yes. He met Silky Martin here at the diner and left with him. And I've just heard there was trouble down at one of the warehouses.
Trouble?
Yes, a man was killed.
Oh, no, not Van.
No. Silky's bodyguard was killed. And a truckload of stuff and the driver have disappeared.
Oh.
The police have an alarm out. They're blocking all exits from Big Town. And I'm just afraid Van is driving that truck.
Vicky, I've been afraid something like this had happened. So afraid.
Just a minute, Flora. I got most of that. Let me talk to the girl. Maybe I can help.
Oh, if you only would, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, we'll try. Hello, Miss Mason. I'm Steve Wilson of the press.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, Van's mother has spoken of you many times. You work with the police in breaking rackets, don't you?
I try, and this sounds like an ugly one.
Oh, I'm sure Van had nothing to do with that killing, Mr. Wilson. He'd never carried a gun.
Good. But if he's driving that truck, he's liable to be involved if anything has happened to the regular driver.
Is there anything you can do to help him, Mr. Wilson, for his mother's sake and mine?
With your help, Miss Mason.
But how can I help?
Well, Flora says you know Silky Martin.
Yes, I know a little about him.
It may be enough. Where are you?
I'm a waitress here at the Sunshine Diner on the corner of Front and Main Street.
Don't leave there. Stay on the job. Now act as if you haven't heard a thing if anyone comes in and asks you questions. I'll be down there in nothing flat.
Thus, Steve Wilson moves swiftly into a situation promising deadly and dangerous complications. And for the exciting developments, we'll return to Big Town in just a moment. You know, I always did think that Lifebuoy Health Soap got me extra clean. But I never knew how right I was till the doctors came along and actually proved it. Yes, it's true. After comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, these doctors made this amazing statement. Actually, you're cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. Something to think about, isn't it? Well, the answer's simple. Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy is more effective than any other leading soap against invisible dirt that can form a foothold for B.O. Lifebuoy gets you even cleaner than the eye can see. After 820 scientific tests, these doctors say that Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes the difference. And this same purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So enjoy a refreshing Lifebuoy bath every day. You'll like Lifebuoy's creamy rich lather, its wonderful mildness. Get Lifebuoy tomorrow. Back to Big Town, to Steve Wilson of the press, and to tonight's headline story of A Dangerous Resolution. Following a lead on a truck hijacking resulting in murder, Steve is on his way to the south side of Big Town in the cab of Harry the Hack and pulls up in front of an all-night diner in the warehouse district.
Stay under the wheel of your hack, Harry. I won't be long. Keep your eyes open.
Check, boss. I'll be right here.
Evening, miss.
Oh. What'll it be, mister?
Are you, Vicky Mason?
Yes, sir. Are you Mr. Wilson?
Yes. Has anyone questioned you since you phoned Van's mother at my office?
No, sir. Why did you ask me to pretend I hadn't heard about the shooting down near the dock?
Well, now listen carefully. If your friend Van is involved and you know Silky Martin, the man who hired him to drive the truck, you're dangerous to him.
How do you mean? I don't know much about Silky, where he lives, or even where he operates.
But enough to make you dangerous if you talk to anyone.
I don't care if I can help Van out of his jam.
Do you care enough for Van Anders to take a chance leading me to Silky Martin?
I'd do anything, but I can't.
Well, I have a hunch you may have a chance, but be careful.
Mr. Wilson, a car just pulled up out front behind that cab.
I heard it. Don't look out. The cab is mine with a special driver.
Someone's coming in from the car. A girl. Oh,
Silky's girlfriend, Bubbles.
All right, you don't know me. Swallow whatever line she hands you. Go with her if necessary. We'll be right behind you.
Yes, sir. She's coming in.
Now, give me a cup of java and a piece of pie, sweetheart.
Sure, sure, mister.
And how about a date when you're finished?
Nick's the eager beaver, Vicky. We got a date. You're through right now.
Oh, hello, Bubbles. Say, what's the big idea? I'm not through till four.
Let these amorous night owls hoot for the cook in the back.
Well, what's the matter?
Your boyfriend, Van, he's hurt.
Hurt?
Yeah, he wants to see you. Get your coat, I'll drive you.
Yeah, it's by the door.
Well, get it on. Quit giving this cheap wolf the see you later. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Well, where is Van? Is he badly hurt?
He'll live. He wants to see you. Come on.
Hey, miss, what about my pie and coffee?
Oh, go chase yourself, you tinhorn.
Thanks, but I think I'd rather chase you.
Huh. You should live so long.
Say
it, Harry, but don't lose that black touring car in traffic.
That day may be a shaker in a boiler cube, but she ain't shaking me an old bet.
Watch it, Harry. They're turning into an alley in the middle of the next block. Slow down.
Yeah. Do we play follow the leader?
No, this may be the end of the line. Go slow. Now, see if she's stopping in the alley. Or if it's another Dodge to shake us.
There's the alley alongside that old warehouse.
I see a brake light. They've stopped. Pull out and cut your motor and lights, Harry.
Good, that's done. Now, my boss, haven't we long wolfed this long enough?
Yes, Harry. Get to the nearest phone and call Callahan of Homicide.
And plenty of helpers?
Yes, with tear gas and Tommy guns. This looks like a rat's nest, and there's no telling how many are in it.
Yeah, and how about you remembering that and don't go crashing in solo?
I'll remember, but I can't wait, Harry. That girl's in danger, and if anything happens to her, it'll be my fault.
Include me and my trusty monkey wrench in, boss.
You're not paid to take chances, Harry.
Neither are you, boss. And two guys taking chances. This is only twice as crazy as one guy taking chances.
All right, Harry, thanks. As soon as you made that phone call, come on in.
Today, Eerie House, brought to you by B.O.
Which was FBI and Peace and War. They kind of used that. I forget. Oh, there's, because theirs was sponsored by Lava Soap. L-A-V-A. We did a takeoff of that for the FBI in Place of War, and it was sponsored by Lavatory Soap.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Well, that Lava Soap is like scrubbing with a pumice and like scrubbing with a freaking rock. It is.
Oh, yeah. It takes layers and layers of flesh off. I like it.
It does.
Yeah. What and there was Mom that? Yelling at, lava
yeah,
soap?
Yeah, there was Mom yelling at Henry or whoever it was to use the lava soap. Wash your hands and use the lava soap.
Yeah. You had to wash your mouth out with soap. Boy, you were in for it there.
Oh, yeah. Of course, Palmolive have that lovely piquant flavor.
That is, yes. That is good.
Yeah.
This is a fun story.
I'm enjoying this.
Yep.
Yeah, and this show only proves that New Year's resolutions can actually hurt you.
Yes.
Yes. Surgeon General says New Year's resolutions are hazardous to your health.
And with that public service announcement, we'll continue with the exciting conclusion of The Dangerous Resolution.
Come on, Van. Unload the rest of the stuff. The last crate of silk in the truck.
Okay.
You got chips, Silky. Only a quarter of a load. And for that, you got your pal Monk killed.
Lamb up. Monk wasn't any pal of mine. The dope.
Nobody's a pal of yours, Silky.
This gun in my hand is the only pal I can trust. And don't forget it.
Okay, I'm no hero. But what about that regular driver you got tied up in the back of the truck?
Leave him there.
Well, what about this truck, too? Every cop in Big Town is looking for it by now. Maybe you can hide that hijacked silk, but you can't hide this truck for long, even in this old warehouse.
You're going to hide the truck for me, big boy.
Hide this baby? Where?
In the river.
In the river? Well, you're crazy. It'll be spotted on the way.
No, it won't. It's only 2 blocks through back alleys to an old coal dock where we'll dunk her deep.
Not with that driver at you, murderous slug.
Steady, pal. I'd hate to have to nail you here. I need you to hustle this truck to the river.
I won't drive it.
You'll drive it.
Who's that?
That's the reason you're going to do anything I say do. Bring her in, Bubbles.
Inside me.
What? Vicky!
Van! What? She said you were hurt.
It's just a dirty trick to get you here, Vicky. Why did you come with her?
I wanted to be with you no matter what trouble you're in.
Oh, we're in plenty of trouble, honey. And all because I wouldn't listen to you.
Nice going, Bubbles. Do you have any trouble coaxing her?
Nah. Just had to pry her loose from a counter cowboy who's trying to date her. Now, what's the pitch?
You better beat it, baby. Get yourself an alibi.
Alibi for what?
You wouldn't want to know.
Wait a minute, Silky. What are you going to do to this dopey truck hustler and that dizzy dame?
Well, if you must know, I'm going to do what comes naturally in this racket when somebody knows enough to finger me into the chair.
Van, is he going to kill... shoot you, us?
Not steady, honey. That's the kind of trouble I meant.
Silky, wait a minute. I was seen picking up that dame. If anything happens to her, I'll be hauled in to headquarters for questioning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just what I've been thinking. You must have read my mind.
You can't do it without mixing me up in it.
Yeah. Yeah, Bubbles. So you might as well be in it all the way. Right up to your ears.
Silky, I'm your girl.
Big Town's full of girls with everything you got. And who don't know so much.
No, Silky, you wouldn't.
Don't tell me things, Bubbles. Bubbles. Hey, you can do your act in the truck with these dopes and the regular driver for an audience at the bottom of the river.
No!
Blowing bubbles. Pretty bubbles in the water.
No, Silky, no. No, no!
Yeah!
Ben.
Steady,
Ben.
Vicky, it ain't happened yet.
No, so let's get going, Anders. Pick up Bubbles and dump her in the truck with that regular driver.
No, I won't do it.
Pick her up or I'll cut you down.
Go ahead. Here in the river, what's the difference?
Pick her up, Ben, please. There's a reason.
Reason?
What's the reason, beautiful?
You'll never get out of this warehouse alive if you shoot any of us.
Oh, yeah? Tell me how come not, baby.
That man at the diner wasn't just a masher. He was asking about you.
A plain clothes flat?
It doesn't matter, because I'm sure he followed us here.
Quit lying, baby. Quit stalling. Make your boyfriend put Bubbles in the truck.
All right. Oh, please, Van, do as he says, or he'll shoot you here.
Okay, I don't get it, but what have we got to lose?
Dump her in there.
Okay. Now what?
Now lift your girlfriend Vicky up in there with her and that regular driver. And lock the door.
Lock Vicky in there? Like nothing.
Like everything. Or else...
Oh, please, Van. I'll get in myself. See if that other truck driver is hurt and don't do anything foolish.
Smart, Dave. Give the gal a hand, Van. Where's your manners?
All right. Get in, Vicky. I'll show you manners, Silky, before we get to the river.
Oh, I can hardly wait. Close that truck door and latch it.
Okay, now don't worry, honey. This truck ain't going to the river.
I'll bet you 6 slugs out of this gun it does. Now get in the truck cab and start up the motor.
Yeah, who's going to roll open the main doors to the alley?
Let me worry about that. Get in the cab of the truck.
Wait a minute, boys.
What? Who are you, dope?
I'm the counter cowboy who followed your girlfriend from the Sunshine Diner.
Oh, a plain clothes loft squad louse.
Thanks,
huh?
For the compliment, but no, just a newspaper man who got a tip on your racket, Silky.
A newspaper guy? You're not that racket busting rat of the Illustrated Press, Steve Wilson.
I'm flattered.
I'll flat you with a slug if you come any closer.
It'll be the shot that will send you to the chair if you pull the trigger.
You'll never know about it if I do. Turn around and spread your wings, you buzzard.
Don't worry. Don't waste valuable time. Like Van Anders, I don't carry a gun.
Don't kid me, Wilson. Nobody walks into a setup like this without heat. Turn around for a frisk.
All right, satisfy yourself, but you're wasting valuable time, and you haven't much to spare.
Yeah, you are clean. What's the big idea? What's the pitch, walking in here without a rod?
Well, two guns usually calls for a shooting showdown, Silky. I have a better solution.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I'm going to talk that gun right out of your hand.
Talk the... That I gotta see.
Mind if I turn around and explain how?
Yeah, turn around so I can see better where to plug you. If you don't get in the cab or the truck with Anders.
All right. Thanks.
Don't try to rush him, Mr. Wilson. He means business.
So do I. And take it easy, Van. I got the whole story from your mother and Miss Mason, and we're going to show Silky that the mind can be quicker than the trigger finger.
That I really gotta see. Get in the truck.
I ain't moving that truck out of here.
Get under the wheel, Van. You won't have to move it far, and it's all part of the triumph of mind over murder madness.
Okay, okay, Mr. Wilson, but I sure hope you know what you're doing.
I think I do. You've already given me the idea.
Now's the stall and the double talk, Wilson. Get in the cab of the truck with Anders.
All right, Silky. I think we're all set to talk that murder gun right out of your hand.
Thus, Steve Wilson is set to try one of the most dangerous operations known to manhunters. And in a moment, we'll come to the exciting climax of tonight's story, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Friends, if you say this is amazing, I'll be the first to agree, but doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Yes, after comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, these doctors made this amazing statement. Actually, you're cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. It's Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient that makes the difference. And remember, this purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So bathe with Lifebuoy every day and ask for Lifebuoy in the big new bath size. It's generous, luxurious. Get the new bath-size Lifebuoy tomorrow. Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson, Van Anders, and the payoff. In tonight's headline story of a premature New Year's resolution.
Come on, Wilson. Save the big talk for the crabs in the river. Get in the cab of the truck alongside of Anders.
All right, Silky. But haven't you forgotten something important?
No, and don't you forget I got this gun and there's six slugs in it for you and Anders if you try anything between here and the coal dock where this truck goes in the drink.
Yeah, drowning the regular driver and those two girls locked in the back. You really are a cold-blooded killer, Silky.
Yeah, and I got nothing to lose by this cover-up. So get in the cab, or I'll let you have it right here and now.
He will, Mr. Wilson. Don't needle him too much.
I'm all through needling him, Van. I was just trying to remind him of something he seems to have forgotten.
Okay, remind me, Wilson.
How is Anders going to drive this truck out of this warehouse unless somebody opens those big sliding doors?
Oh. Maybe you'd like to open them before you get in the truck.
Okay, I suppose I might as well.
Wait a minute. You're thinking your way out of this, are you, Wilson? Well, I'm way ahead of you.
How so?
You're thinking you'll get to open them sliding doors, duck, and run for it down that dark alley outside, huh?
Well, you're smarter than I thought, Silky.
Yeah. Get in the cab with Anders.
Okay.
And you, Van, be ready to roll to the river the minute I get those doors open.
Well, Van, I guess he's outsmarted us. You better start your motor.
Yeah. As soon as I roll that door open, I'll be back on the running board with this gun in your neck, Anders. And you'll drive to the river or else.
You'll step in front of the truck to unlatch the door, start your motor in gear, and duck.
That's it, Mr. Wilson. I got the plan now.
Shh! You slug!
Attaboy, Van. Set your emergency. You got him pinned against the door. He's emptied his gun.
Okay. The bumper's holding him tight. I'd like to smash him for what he's going to do to Vicky.
I'll let the law take care of that, Van. Just told him there, and... Cut your motor.
Okay.
No, don't! Back up! You're crushing me!
Just hold him against the door, Van.
Okay, Mr. Wilson. But another 6 inches would save the state a lot of trouble.
Well, the state doesn't mind this kind of trouble, man. I'll hold him until I see if he has another gun.
Wash, I was waiting for the psychological moment to intervene, but that was positively beautiful.
Oh, thanks very much, Harry.
Yeah, you want me to cool him with my knocker-knocker?
Oh, Harry, he'll keep till Inspector Callahan gets here.
Well, that ought to be any minute. Now, Miss Kilbine is out front to steer him in.
Good. Tell her to come in and get the whole story for tomorrow's early edition.
Holy moly, boss, ain't you getting out an extra?
Oh, no, Harry. The capture of one vicious killer doesn't rule the presses any more than it stops crime. The real story here is Van's resolve to get out of the rackets.
Yes, and I hope the police will let me make it for New Year's and keep it, Mr. Wilson.
Well, I think they will, Van, when the facts are known. Meanwhile, get your girlfriend, Vicky, Bubbles, and that driver out of the truck.
And so ended with the arrest and subsequent conviction of Silky and his treacherous accomplice, Bubbles, another exciting adventure in the newspaper career of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Big Town Illustrated Press. Now, before telling you of next week's headline story of Big Town, remember, doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Yes, you're cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. Ask for Lifebuoy Health Soap tomorrow. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story entitled The Mask of Evil, a strange and unusual story of death and terror in an abandoned lighthouse. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilbourne, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. Now, this is Hugh James speaking for Lever Brothers Company, wishing you all a happy new year and bidding you good night until next Tuesday night, same time, same station, when you'll hear the newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and the Mask of Evil, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy, we stank less.
Yeah, stank. We've got a lot of soap there.
To the point. And his father said, love that organ. And he's right. That organ is pretty busy tonight on that program.
Yep. Absolutely. The mighty Wurlitzer organ. Wow, they're really going to town with that.
Gar loves the organ. And we're hoping he's feeling better soon. Poor devil.
Oh, yeah, Gar.
That's no way to start a year. That's right.
Absolutely.
Get well soon, brother. Yeah, thanks, Foggs, and good old Bob for joining us live. There's others, too, because I kind of figured it out last night. And I was checking the charts and things that are different. The analytics here are kind of weird, but it appears that on average there's 15 to 20 people listening live when we're doing shows. It's just a lot of
Invisible folks. Because if they don't log in to the comments, we can't see them.
But they're there.
They're here.
And here's some more radio.
We thank them one and all for being here.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And join these great old-time radio programs along with us. More programs than you can shake a stick at if you like shaking sticks.
Yep. And we've shaken your stick many times. It was over 1,000 now with 1,000 different shows.
Those are complete shows, yeah. I'm not talking about all the clips that we've shared either. So there's just and so much more to go.
Billions and millions.
Millions and millions and millions, billions and billions.
Right. It just, you know, amazes me that this show actually started in 1938. I don't know if Fox Bane asked us for, you know, what the earliest shows are. Well, an early show of this would be that, but, you know, you had the earliest show that I think that we aired that was a complete show would have been the Witch's Tale would have been probably the earliest so far.
Yeah, that we've done that's a regular show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're even older than the Hermit's Cave, which is pretty old.
Right. And we played a few clips that are earlier than that. But complete shows, that was the earliest show so far.
Yes. So far, but you never know.
Dave, question for you. Did radio have to kowtow to the Hays Code when pre-coding was given the kibosh, as it were?
I don't think they had the Hays Code really for radio, but
actually, there was
censorship.
I did some reading on it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and the only thing with radio that was different than with movies was the absolutely no nudity on radio. None.
Oh, well, yeah. Where's the fun in that?
I made you wait for that.
No nudity, you know?
On radio, no. It's just not considered good.
Well, what are you talking about? On radio, I'm very handsome, you know? I have a face for radio, so... And then I step onto the television camera, and there's different, a whole different world.
Yep.
And
what we probably ought to get rolling along here as time keeps ticking away.
Only because we have something special we'd like to share.
Yeah.
Coming up here soon.
So here we go with Gunsmoke. This one's called Puckett's New Year.
Yeah. Now, one thing I do want to share about this real quick was one of the greatest thing about, you know, it was the first adult Western, meaning it wasn't like Hopalong Cassidy, and it wasn't like Lone Ranger, which are great shows. I love both of those shows. But it had more adult themes as far as there was actual killing and things like that going on. Lone Ranger could be riding on the horse, you know, 25 miles an hour and shoot the gun out of a guy in front of him, you know, that kind of a thing. this was a little bit more realistic. Not that 15 people died a week Dodge City, but one of the things that set this apart was the sound department, the CBS sound department. Tom Hanley, Ray Camper, and Bill James created layered effects. The sound of leather on leather, keys in the lock and jailhouse, and horses' hooves on dusty roads that were intricately reproduced. Within a year, several radio programs tried to emulate Gunsmoke's production values. None came close. So, and there aren't very many shows that, I don't know if anybody outside of CBS that actually had three sound effect people on different shows. Another one was the CBS Radio Workshop. They had at least three people working on each of those shows. So CBS put the money into the sound. They put their money where their sound effects are, and it adds to the production effort, as you'll see in tonight's episode.
And they had leather.
Leather on leather. Leather on leather. Yeah, there you go.
With that in mind, let's move along with guns. Something wrong with me in 2022. Ah, yes, Puckett's New Year from Gunsmoke. First broadcast?
Yes. January 1st of 1956.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Thank you.
starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Chester and I were about 30 miles from Dodge when we ran into the buffalo hunters' camp. We'd been holed up for 2 days in a deserted sod hut, taking cover from one of the worst blizzards in years. But it was over now, and a warm, dry Chinook blew out of the west, down off the Rockies and across the prairie into Kansas. It was Chester who saw the camp first, a pile of buffalo hides half covered by snow, and the skeleton of a wagon, its canvas torn and shredded by the blizzard. The camp was silent as we rode up. We got on.
There ain't nary a soul here, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe the men got caught out on the prairie when the blizzard hit and couldn't get back.
It sure does look that way.
I don't know how that team is still alive with nothing but that wagon for protection.
They don't look none too lively.
You sure can't blame them.
Get your hands up, what? Both of you. What?
You better do what the old man says, Chester.
He was hiding in the wagon.
Come over here. Closer.
This your camp, mister?
Of course it's my camp. Now you two drop them guns.
Now we got our hands up. Isn't that enough?
You do what I say. I ain't taking no chances. I ain't going to get left here again.
Left?
You're going to hitch up that team and you're going to take me into Dodge. You ain't running off like Jed Larner.
Who's Jed Larner?
He's my skinner.
Oh, why did he leave you?
Well, he seen that blizzard coming and he didn't want to take any chances, so he rode off. He's probably been in Dodge all the time, warm and cozy.
Oh, why didn't you go with him?
I twisted my leg and my foot so that I can't ride a horse, that's why. Larner figured driving the wagon would be too slow.
You mean he left you here to freeze?
Yeah, and I'll kill him when I find him. And I'll kill you if you don't drive me to Dodge.
Now, here, he's a U.S. Marshal, mister. He ain't going to leave you out here. Marshal?
Yeah, that's right. Now, why don't you put down that rifle and tell us who you are?
Well, all right. My name's Ira Puckett, Marshal. I'm usually up north following the Republican herd, but I come south this year. I'm getting old, and I thought it'd be warmer down here.
You sure made a mistake about that, didn't you?
You'll get me into Dodge, won't you?
Sure, of course we will.
Foot, I twisted. I don't feel nothing in it. Must be froze.
Huh? Well, it could be.
I'll kill Jed Larner for this.
You forget about that, Puckett. I'm not taking you back to Dodge just so you can hang.
I'll forget it. Till I find him.
People everywhere are finding that Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Yes, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. For the more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. And Chesterfield, made with Accuray, is more perfectly packed than any cigarette could ever be before. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying to the taste. An Accuray Chesterfield has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. So remember, Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Is he, Doc?
Oh, he'll be all right, Matt. In time.
Then his foot wasn't so bad after all, huh?
He
didn't have much foot left when I got through him.
Oh.
But he'll be able to walk with a cane. But his buffalo hunting days are over.
How does he know that?
Mm-hmm. I told him. Ira Puckett's a proud man, Matt. A little too proud.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, what he hated most about this Jed Larner leaving him on the prairie wasn't the fact that he might have died, but that he was helpless. A man like Puckett can't stand being helpless.
Yeah, I see.
So now, all crippled up, he's a bitter man, Matt.
Well, he'll get over it, Doc, and Mac will get used to most anything in time.
I've got my doubts about Puckett, though. Well, you know that ornery old goat? He won't even admit how old he is.
Oh, how old would you guess, Doc?
Oh, he's past 70 anyway. He's in the back there if you want to see him.
All right.
I'll come with you.
Well, hello, Puckett.
Marshal.
How you feeling?
Doc tell you what he done to me?
Yeah.
He ruined my foot.
Oh, I saved your life, Puckett.
I ain't sure I'm grateful, Doc.
You're going to be all right, Puckett. You're going to be able to get around.
Yeah, like old woman. What am I going to do for a living? I ain't one of you city people. I live off the country. I always have. I'm a man, not a dude.
You'll get used to town life. And you'll find men here, too.
What kind of men? Walking around all slickered up, parting the hair in the middle, bowing to the ladies. Ain't one of them could do half the things I've done. Well, I was living with Comanches when most of them were sniveling in their mother's aprons.
Yeah, I know. But you'll find something to do. I'll help you.
You will, eh?
Well, sure.
Then help me find Jed Larner. Bring him in here so that I can kill him with my bare hands.
What does Larner look like, Puckett?
Oh, he's tall, black hair, got a big scar running across one eye and halfway down his right cheek.
All right, I'll try to find him. And if I do, I'll run him out of town before you get to him.
So, can't even trust you, can I?
Not when you want to murder a man. I told you I didn't bring you in so you could hang. The next few weeks, I kept a sharp eye out for Jed Larner. But he must have headed for some other part of the country. Anyway, he never showed up in Dodge. Well, time passed. And Ira Puckett was able to get around a little. First with the help of crutches, and then finally with a cane. But it was obvious his hunting days were over. And that alone seemed to shame him. Then one night his pride really got a blow. I was at the Long Branch having a beer with Kitty when it happened.
Oh, this is a great way to start the new year, Matt.
What do you mean, Kitty?
Well, last year I was hoping maybe I'd be in San Francisco by now.
Oh? You never told me.
What would you have done about it?
Oh, nothing, I guess. Why San Francisco?
No blizzards, no dust, no cowboys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but they got fog.
Yeah.
And all those sailors and miners aren't any gentler than these cowboys, you know.
Well, I know. But imagine going to dinner in a carriage, eating off a tablecloth, dancing on a hardwood floor.
You're spoiled, Kitty.
Well, now, how could I get spoiled? Here, Dodge City?
Save your money. You'll get to California someday.
Yeah, sure. If I walk.
Well, a lot of people are gone that way.
Who do you think I am, Sacagawea?
Ah, there was a woman.
Yeah.
You know, I always...
What's the matter, Matt?
That man at the bar, he just turned around.
Which man?
The one with the scar down his cheek. I'll be back, Kitty.
Good evening, Marshal.
Evening.
What are you staring at me for?
Your name Jed Larner?
And if it is?
How long you been in town, Larner?
About an hour. Something wrong, Marshal?
You remember the big blizzard we had?
Who don't?
We all do, I guess. Especially Ira Puckett.
What?
He didn't die, Larner.
Well, that's fine. I went back looking for him. I wondered where he got to.
Yeah, sure you did.
Well, it's true.
Pocket's here in Dodge, Lerner.
He is?
If he finds you, he'll kill you. But he isn't going to find you because you're leaving right now. And don't show up around here again.
Now, wait, Marshal.
I can't arrest you. I can't put you in jail. But I tell you what I can do.
What?
Suppose I just let everybody here know that you're the man who ran off and left Ira Puckett to die.
No.
You know something? They'd tear you apart, Larner. They'd set you on fire.
Don't say nothing, Marshal. Don't tell them. I'll leave. I'll leave right now.
Well, you got rid of him in a hurry.
I saved him from being shot and Ira Puckett from hanging for it, Kitty.
Oh, that was Jed Lerner.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that ought to hang.
Yeah, he didn't mean to kill the old man, Kitty.
What's the difference?
Well, legally, there's some.
Enough to give Ira his foot back?
You're sure hard to argue with, Kitty.
Why? Because I think straight?
Let's talk about San Francisco, huh?
I've changed my mind. I think I'll go to New York.
Oh?
Marshal Dillon.
I have a pocket in this.
Yeah.
He looks awful mad. That's good thing he isn't armed.
Well, he can always find a gun, Kitty.
You done it, Marshal. It was you, wasn't it?
You saw Jed Lerner, huh?
Jumped on his horse and rode out of town before I could stop him. And I had to stand there and watch. I didn't even have a rock to throw at him. Why'd you do it, Marshal?
To save you from hanging, Ira.
Well, I'd rather hang and live this way. I wasn't born to become a helpless old man. The least you could have done was let me fight my own battle like I always did out on the plain. You took my manhood away from me, Marshal.
You're living in town now, Ira, among people. Why don't you get used to it?
All right. All right. All right, I will. I'll live like you town people.
Fine. Then why don't you start by getting yourself a job?
I'm going to. I sure am. And it's going to pay me a lot of money, too.
What do you mean by that?
You find out, Marshal. When it's too late.
This is Jack Webb. I suppose most of you have made your New Year's resolutions. I guess with most of us, that implies some kind of a change. Well, beginning with this brand new year, we've made a few changes in our Dragnet television show. I like to think the most important is what we call the Dragnet New Look. In our brand new series, we'll show for the very first time the new Los Angeles Police Administration building, the first of its kind in the world. But the biggest change of all is our new television time, 1/2 hour earlier. Now, speaking of a change, here's a great suggestion for 1956. Change to milder, better-tasting Chesterfields. My cigarette. Make it yours. I think this little jingle of ours sums up our case for Chesterfield very nicely.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Light up a Chesterfield. They satisfy.
That's right. Get your Chesterfields, your life boy, and you're good to go.
Chesterfields, what? They satisfy. Are you supposed to eat them? Is that what it is?
Yes. They're very filling.
Okay.
Do you remember, I think it was Rockabye Baby with Jerry Lewis? And he at the beginning of the movie, he was renting from this woman who was like a TV addict. And whatever that TV was advertising, she was consuming, whether it was cigarettes or candies or whatever.
Yes. Yes, she was a complete consumer. Yes.
She was like the ultimate consumer, hooked on television ads.
She was the Madison Avenue executive's dream come true.
Yes. God, yes. Too much fun. But Clayton Poole. His name was Clayton Poole in the movie.
Clayton Poole.
Yep.
Most definitely. That was a hilarious movie, too.
Yeah.
We did a special on Jerry Lewis a long time ago when I was still doing Erie House TV before live stream fell apart. And I remember talking about my favorite Jerry Lewis movie was The Geisha Boy. I thought that was just the cutest movie.
Yeah. I'm thinking The Big Mouth is one of my favorites of his. And Who's Minding the Store? Those two are probably my two favorites of his.
They're fun, too. They are very fun.
Yeah, that was a good one. The Disorderly Orderly was good as well. And, of course, don't forget The Nutty Professor.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That drink that he ordered at the bar.
I want one.
Anybody. Oh, my gosh. Bon voyage.
I know, right?
It was called a polar bear or some such thing?
I think you did, as I recall, in the purple pit.
I think we did a tribute to Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, I was mentioning that. We had a whole bunch of television and then a bunch
radio
of radio that night.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Twas fun. Yes, live stream went by the wayside, so someday I'll find another venue. But in any event, having too much fun doing radio now as we wrap up Gun Schmoke. The Schmoke.
One quick thing before we go in, just another quick fact here. Again, choosing the right character, Norm MacDonald really crafted the show for Matt Dillon. He also considered both Raymond Burr and Robert Stack for the part of Matt Dillon. Certainly would have been a little different. I think Conrad really had the depth of it. But don't feel too bad. Raymond Burr ended up starring in the radio version of Fort Laramie, and he did a wonderful job on that.
Did he? Oh, okay.
Yep.
And did Robert Stack do radio as well?
I think he did some radio, but not – I don't think he really got a starring role in a series. I'd be shocked if he didn't do some suspense and stuff like that, but I'll have to look that up.
Yep. And he spent a lot of time trying to solve mysteries.
Yep. Yeah. Later on, yes.
Tons of mysteries.
Yeah, that show ran a long time. Anywho, speaking of shows that ran a long time, Gunsmoke was one of them, especially if you add up radio and television together, as we complete Puckett's New Year.
Nice morning, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, thanks for that wind we had last night.
Well, it kept me awake.
All night, Chester?
Well, no, sir, I wouldn't say that. About 15 minutes. Hey, look over there by the bank, Mr. Dillon. Ain't that Ari Puckett?
Yeah. That's the first time he's had his team and wagon out.
Where do you reckon he's going?
Right now, he's gone into the bank.
Well, what's he carrying that shotgun for? He can't do no hunting in the bank.
Yes, he can, Chester. Come on.
Mr. Dillon, you don't mean to say old Puckett's going to hold that bank up?
He said last night he's going to start living like town people and get a job and make a lot of money. This could be his idea of how to do it.
You sure couldn't have no other reason to carry that shotgun in there. You going in after Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Well, he's got a shotgun.
I know. Look, Chester, take his team and wagon off somewhere. Lead him around back of the bank, huh? Out of sight. Maybe we can handle this without a shooting.
All right, sir.
Hurry it up, Chester. He's coming out.
I'm all gone, Mr. Dillon. Marshal.
Come on out, Puckett. I'm not stopping you.
You better not try it. I can shoot with one hand, Marshal.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you try to follow me, Nick. Hey, wait a minute. Wait.
Where's my wagon? Where's my team?
You're in a bad fix, Puckett.
Somebody stole them. I can't get away without my team.
No, you can't, Puckett. So you might as well give up.
You done it. You're behind this, Marshal.
You gonna shoot me?
Why shouldn't I?
Because you're in enough trouble already. And shooting me won't help a bit. You're trapped, Puckett, and there isn't a thing you can do about it. Now, you use your head.
All right. Here. Here's the money. Now, you bring my outfit back. I ain't going to jail, Marshal.
It's like I said, Puckett. Shooting me isn't going to help you. And I'm not going to do a thing about your outfit.
You think you outsmarted me, don't you?
Give it up, Puckett. You're licked.
Yeah, well, I... Oh, I can't shoot you, Marshal. Here, take the gun.
Good.
I'm nothing but a helpless old fool. Can't even rob a bank proper.
I'm not sure you really wanted to, Puckett.
What?
All you wanted was to prove something about that manhood you think has been taken away from you. But you sure picked a foolish way to do it.
Yeah, I guess it did.
My goodness, I thought he wouldn't never give up, Mr. Dillon.
He didn't have much choice, Chester.
I went in the back way and told the people in the bank to keep out of the way. Want me to take him to jail?
Oh, no. I can't stand jail. Please, Marshal.
Lock him up, Chester. I'll return this money and have a talk with Mr. Botkin. I'll be over later. I told you to lock him up, Chester.
Well, I started to, Mr. Dillon, but I just couldn't stand the look on him when I got him in the cell.
Ara, you know, it seems to me everybody treats you pretty well.
Yeah, everybody but Jed Larner.
That's true. But Chester and I brought you in. Doc saved your life. I kept you from hanging, and if I hadn't outsmarted you at the bank, you'd probably be lying dead somewhere now. You know, it seems to me everybody's gone to a lot of trouble for an old man full of a lot of foolish pride. What do you think?
I've been thinking, Marshal. Sitting here thinking. You know what? You're right. But it's too late now.
No, it isn't, Aaron.
What?
I explained everything to Mr. Botkin at the bank, and he's willing to drop any charges against you. But on one condition.
What's that?
Well, to be honest with you, it was my idea, but Mr. Botkin agreed. You get a job here and quit being so doggone ornery. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail.
Oh, what could I do with this crippled foot?
Well, seeing you're so handy with a shotgun, I think Jim Buck might hire you to ride messenger on the stage.
You think so?
Well, he told me he would.
You went and saw him?
And it doesn't take any walking, Ira. So, how about it, huh?
Well, I never had a job like that, but... Man's got to make a change once in a while, lady. And it'll sure be a good way to start the new year.
Moment, our star, William Conrad. People everywhere are finding that Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Yes, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. For the more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. And Chesterfield, made with Accuray, is more perfectly packed than any cigarette could ever be before. Firm and pleasing to the lips. Mild, yet deeply satisfying to the taste. An Accuray Chesterfield has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. So remember, Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Buy Chesterfield. mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, out on the high plains, they used to have a saying, never argue with a mule, a cook, or a horse and buggy doctor. Well, next week, an Easterner who never heard that saying comes to Dodge. And he makes the mistake of fighting with the wrong people. He nearly dies as a result of it. But that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody and James Nusser. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Make today your big red-letter day, your L&M red-letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red-letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. L&M, America's best filter tip cigarette. Be sure and listen to another transcribed story of the Old West on Gunsmoke next week at this same time.
Indeed. In 1957, of course, Gunsmoke was still riding high on the radio, as well as on television by then. Stan Freberg on his variety show did a takeoff of Gunsmoke, and his version was Bang Gunley U.S. Marshal Field. And believe it or not, we have that here for you.
Yep. And without further ado, let's take a listen to good old Stan Freberg.
This fall, there will come galloping onto your TV screen the greatest array of Western characters since Smiley Burnett was on This Is Your Life. Allow us to be the first to give you a composite preview of these thrilling, action-packed sagas of the West. Just shut your eyes now, and you will hear a typical soundtrack that will be coming out of your television set this fall. No peeking at the picture now.
The Eating Corporation of America presents Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshal Field.
Morning.
Howdy.
You the new foreman?
That's right.
Well, let's ride on out and look over the spread.
Okay.
Somebody sure cut through that fence, all right.
Yep.
Somebody sure cut through that fence, all right.
Come on, foreman. Let's get on back to the ranch.
Okay.
Our action-packed story in just a moment. First, a word from the newest member of the E Corporation of America's breakfast family, Puff Grass.
Puff Grass, Puff Grass, chock full of vitamins and chlorophyll too. Good for Puffy. It's good for me, I do. Puff Grass.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Jet Crash. I'm a test pilot. Believe you me, I couldn't break through the sound barrier every morning. If I didn't start off my day with a stomach. Full of puffed grass. Million cows can't be wrong. It's only breakfast food containing chlorophyll. Two. Yes, when us test pilots are all alone up there, pulling out of a sonic dive on the verge of blacking out, with a pull of 9 G's on our body, I can't tell you what a comfort it is to have that extra chlorophyll protection. It well makes me the most popular test pilot of the annual Lockheed prom. Yes, you can spot the puff grass eaters in any crowd. They got a green mouth.
There goes the boy with the green mouth. He's a puff grass eater. Puff grass!
Now, back to Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshall Field.
Well, let's us tie on the feed bag, eh, foreman?
Okay.
Thing about you, Ma.
You sure womp up a mess of vittles.
Oh, go on with you now.
Yeah.
The new foreman and I rode out there this morning.
Oh! Well, tell us, new foreman, what do you think?
Well, ma'am, it looks to me like somebody sure cut through that fence, all right.
Back to our action-packed saga of the old Western Carolina, folks. But first...
Good evening. I'm your friendly research chemist here at Eating Corporation of America. You may be interested in learning the painstaking research that went into the discovery of puffed grass. One day, our nearsighted gardener here at the factory took some clippings from the lawnmower and, mistaking it for the incinerator, threw them down the barrel of one of our puffed oat guns. The result, puffed grass. Yes, science is always working for you at the Eating Corporation of America. Today, puffed grass is shot out of six guns, just like the one Bang Gunley uses. Every morning at the factory, I take a gun, a breakfast dish, and shoot myself a bowl of puffed grass. Of course, the cast iron bowl helps. But the goodness is there in every blade. 100 million moo cows can't be wrong.
What's good for Buffy? He's good for me and you. Buffy!
Now, back to our thrill-packed story.
Well, Foreman, we just can't thank you enough.
What for?
Why, for, you know, agreeing with me that it sure looked like someone had sure cut through that fence, all right.
Just part of my job as Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshal Fields.
By thunder... I knowed I'd seen you somewhere before.
Mr. Gunley, does this mean you won't be staying on as our new foreman?
Afraid not, Miss Judy. My work is finished here.
Oh, sakes alive! I got a pie in the oven. Oh, come on, Pa. Let's leave these young folks alone.
Mr. Gunley?
Ma'am?
A penny for your thoughts.
Well, look. Miss Judy, not much of a talker around women folks, but I've been thinking lately, and well, now I'm sure. Come here.
Yes?
Miss Judy, somebody sure cut through that fence, all right. Well, come on, Pedro.
Si, amigo. We leave mucho pronto, eh?
What? Well, where did he come from?
Pedro? He materializes at the end of each episode.
Pedro, is he Mexican?
No, senorita. Swiss. This way we don't offend nobody. Adios.
Goodbye, Miss Judy.
Bye.
Bye. U.S. Marshal Field. Riding east, west, north, and south.
Can tell he sent for
justice by the way he
draws a gun, and the proud look of Bill Gates.
Here we go. What a creative guy.
And no Smiths were hurt in the production of this play.
There we go, as we wind down our New Year's Eve party tonight. First day of 2022, and Tuesday will be the first Soylent Green Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Soylent Green Helper. Makes your Soylent Green go all the farther.
Yep. Just put it on your green Soylent cracker and you're good to go.
Yeah. Kraft has special recipes all made up. Soylent Green, Soylent Red. Gather the kids, Mom, because it's going to be a Soylent kind of a Tuesday from Kraft.
Gives a whole new meaning to dinner with Grandma. Oh, jeez.
As long as they serve with real Velveeta, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Real and Velveeta. Is that... Wait, no. How? Wait.
No. How?
Yep. Created by Kraft when they weren't... You had to limit the cheese, so it really wasn't... A cheese. It's a.
It's
it was kind of a
food.
Loaf of milk. It was kind of a loaf of milk, I think.
Yeah. So do we, Linda Lou. So do we, Linda Lou. Linda Lou is in the chat, and she just loves your voice, CW. So do we.
Oh, many thanks, and happy New Year's to you too, Linda Lou. Thank you for that kind compliment. I shall continue on to. Be as eloquent and divine and cultured as
somebody's got to be around here.
Yeah, it isn't us. Yeah,
that's right.
So Dale, what's happening next week on Erie House?
Let's see. Why we're burning our way into the new year. That's right. Fire, we beg you to burn. As we've got Karloff. Friday night, Mystery Playhouse with Boris Karloff, Crime Does Not Pay with Boris, Bela Lugosi, and Johnny Dollar, The Burning Car Matter.
Oh,
so,
right.
A little arson.
With the
stars. And then we're going to hold our feet to the fire on Saturday with yet another CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It's a boot-kicking bonanza, Ordeal by Fire, starring Julie Newmar.
Interesting shows next week once again, and just keep on rolling into the new year.
Yep, got some great topics coming up soon. We'll be looking into the future, winding up... music boxes? What? Yep. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And we might even get trapped. One never knows. One never knows.
So, 2022.
Oh, my God. Well, happy New Year, y'all. Little banter. So, any special meals today? Did you guys have any special New Year's meal? Real quick before we're out of here.
We had the traditional pork and sauerkraut today.
How about CW in the CW household?
In the CW household, we had the everlastingly favorite food. Pizza.
Nothing wrong with that. We had the pork and sauerkraut and taters. And then she made some more Christmas crack. Oh, I am a crack addict.
Oh, my gosh. You have to find a 12-step program for you.
More like an extra unit or two of insulin, but I digress. it's probably time to get Vince out here to say goodnight as we end our first show of the new year.
Once again, everyone, Happy New Year.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Don't come alone.
Don't come alone.
See, I tried to get that in before the... I was a little late there with Vince. I was a little late.
There we go. Yeah. Interesting shows. And be more interesting shows, the more we're going to set the stage on fire next week. So that should be fun.
Good old Bob had a raw egg for hangover remedy. Oh, my gosh.
It makes you...
Better known.
Throw
up oyster.
Makes you purge everything in your stomach. That'll get the alcohol out of you. All right.
Prairie oyster, raw egg with a splash of Tabasco sauce and just slosh it down.
Yeah, they call that a hen grenade.
Hen grenade, really?
Hen grenade,
wow.
Yes.
Well, hen grenade.
Hen grenade.
Hen grenade.
Hen grenade, yes.
Makes sense. But this traditional sauerkraut and bean fish, I've never heard of that before.
Bean fish?
No, sauerkraut and what else did you have? It's a traditional, you said, for New Year's?
A roast.
Pork.
Pork and the sauerkraut is a tradition. In many places, it's a tradition for New Year's.
Yeah, a lot of the Eastern Europeans, that's supposed to bring you good luck to have sauerkraut on New Year's. Yeah.
Interesting.
And you should never have chicken, because a chicken scratches backwards. Well, pork, the hoof moves, they root forward. They're moving forward instead of moving back.
Oh, I didn't know all that went into that. I just go up and look at my plate, and that's what's there, so that's what I ate.
I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No.
Okay, a new tradition. Brand new tradition. Somebody always makes up these traditions somewhere.
Yep.
That's true. Well, usually coming a lot of times from their home country, is that kind of a thing. Every year, traditions seem to become less and less of a thing unless you make your own tradition, like we did with our meatloaf Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Is our own
tradition. Yeah, when you're with the right group of people, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
You sometimes create your own traditions.
Yes.
Whether it's family, friends, or whatever, if you're with the right group, you have your own
tradition. For instance, it wasn't until just a few years ago that I had even heard of macaroni and cheese being part of the Thanksgiving tradition. But
now,
yet, for years and years and years...
I was quite surprised you didn't hear about that. I mean, I've always seen everybody. Since I was a kid, everyone had mac and cheese.
Because
I too never
heard
of
that growing up.
I wonder if that's a regional thing.
It could be. I think it's more of a southern thing. Also, the way that they, a lot of we're doing it more now up north than we used to, because we've caused a lot of fires and people burn down their garages doing it. But
deep fried turkey.
Deep fried turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a big tradition down south, but up north here, it's really, it's fairly new. I'm saying within the last little over a decade that we've started doing that.
Yep.
And not
I have had one, and they are
then,
quite good. They are quite good.
It's amazing. They are amazing.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, if you've got a frozen bird that you throw into your oil, which is hot, and then people... Well, see, again, this is because we northerners don't know this thing. You know, that's why people have literally burned down their garages, and fire departments come out to keep your neighbors from catching fire
because people don't know how to.
They have no idea. For one thing, you're supposed to do it outside. But it's cold outside, so they do it in a garage. And then when you have
away
frozen,
from a building, yes.
Yeah, almost frozen particles hitting that,
nearby.
That bubbling grease. Say goodbye.
Well, the trick is, first of all, you put water in your vessel that you're going to normally put your grease in and test the depth with the turkey in there and then pull it out, and then you know not to go any higher with your oil. And then you, when your turkey's good and thawed out, you got to pat it down real good to get the fluid off of it, too. You just give it a bath with paper towels, you know, dry it off.
And I think you also put it in a brine that helps pull out more moisture as well, not too much. But you don't want it totally dry, but at the same time, as it pulls out a lot of moisture, then you pat it dry again. Then you're supposed to put it on a rig with metal inside of it, and then another hook inside of it, and then you
lower away
very slowly with someone nearby with their finger on the speed dial for the fire department.
Yes.
Up north, certainly, yeah.
No, but if done right, they come out so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone whoever I talked to has raved about it. I have no interest in ever trying it. I've gone past that.
Yeah, you're not
out.
I might talk to a green, but I won't eat the bird.
Hey, deep fried tofu, why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Dale and I are still
that.
Carnivores. Dale and I are still carnivores.
So
we,
good.
Is it?
Yeah. Cannibals.
I'll tell you what. For a while, like after I first had my heart attack, I was really watching everything I ate. And so I stayed away from the beef for a while. And I learned to enjoy black bean hamburgers. If made well, a black bean hamburger is not bad.
They can be very, very tasty. There is a lot of good meat out, non-meat out there. Red Robin makes a really great veggie burger.
Red Robin.
Yum. And you have it wrapped instead of that gluten-free burger. I try to stay away from gluten. You wrap it in a lovely, crisp lettuce wrap, and it's just crunchy and lovely. It's just absolutely fantastic with some of their lightly crisp zucchini fries. Absolutely exquisite.
I still don't know what a gluten is. Was it John Panette that used to say, I don't know what it is, but it must taste really, really good? Because he was a food-loving guy, clearly. He was a large, large man. Too bad we lost him young. Another heavy comedian we lost way too young.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah, gluten is that lovely ingredient that gives bread its sponginess, its wonderful texture, and all that other good stuff. The gluten-free stuff is okay.
It's kind of a glue, right, in the sense it holds stuff together, period.
Yeah. It's a protein, and I miss that protein.
but you know, there's a lot of fuss. There are a few people that are allergic to the gluten, and that's what the big fuss is about. But if you're not allergic, it really isn't a big deal, from what I understand.
Some people are deathly allergic to it. Some people are slightly. Some people are intolerant. Some people find that you just feel better. They may be on the brink of having an intolerance to it, but they just feel better, so they can still have it. But for some people, it just makes them feel better. If it makes you feel better, if it's not hurting you, I say go for it.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law has a certain amount of intolerance towards it. Makes her very ill that if she has it in the evening and afternoon, by late evening she's already feeling it, and then next day she's very ill with it. And so
gotta watch
true.
She does.
But you know, if she's ever in the mood for good lovely pancakes. Tell her, you know, buckwheat pancakes are absolutely divine with sizzling hot maple syrup, little bit of fresh creamy butter.
You're killing me.
So
she's killing you, Dale. She's killing you.
Yeah.
I probably deserve it. I deserve it.
You deserve it.
Much like Jack Sparrow getting slapped in the face, I deserve that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I always thought Spam was Soylent Green. I mean, seriously. I mean,
oh,
just go
yeah.
splot out of there. And supposedly when you go to Hawaii, and if I ever get the chance to go to Hawaii, I'm going into a McDonald's and I'm going to see if they actually serve Spam. They're supposedly the McDonald's there, they serve Spam burgers.
I got married on Maui. I don't recall that. I mean, it may have been there and I just overlooked it or deliberately avoided the concept. I don't know. But I don't but I don't recall.
Growing up it was an inexpensive meat product, and so my mom would fairly often slice it up, fry it up, you throw a little bit of real Velveeta on there, and man, you're in heaven.
Real Velveeta. So you had real Spam and real Velveeta, two items that have no concept in this cosmos of being considered real.
Real Spam. Spam eggs salted in Spam.
It doesn't have as much as Spam egg, Spam and sausage.
Sorry.
Spam.
Bloody Vikings.
Oh, my.
Goodness.
So I get up this morning at my usual 3 in the morning expecting a nice episode of Outer Limits to kind of like wake up, give the dog a chance to wake up. And nope, no Outer Limits. All day long on the Pluto channel I was observing, they ran original Twilight Zones. So not a bad trade. Not a bad trade.
Okay, Pluto did that. That's cool. There's two channels. Decades, which is one of those extra digital channels that we get here in the Cleveland area, was also doing that. And my wife has been busy watching the last 2 days the Sci-Fi channel, which has a tradition of 2 or 3 days of Twilight Zones during New Year's.
Ah, yes. Rod Serling.
A fine
should open up a church.
Tradition.
Exactly. We should open up a church, the Church of Rod Serling, where Rod Serling is the patron saint with Gene Roddenberry over in the other stained glass window off to the side.
Yes. You're entering a chapel.
Chapel, which is non-denominational, and we don't pay taxes either. Remember, if you're a church, you don't have to pay taxes.
This isn't church. This is heaven.
Wait. No, with the money we make at Erie House, doesn't that give us a refund?
The Church of Erie House, House of Erie, the House of Erie House Worship or something to that effect.
You have 40 devils in you. Out. Or maybe we're not that kind of church.
Maybe not.
Oh, gosh. Ernest Angley.
Remember, there is officially, you can be officially, get a license to be a pastor, a minister, Church of the Dude.
The Church of the Dude.
Actually, believe it or not, Mike Mace is indoctrinated into that. Also has a license from the state of Ohio. He can marry people because he is a member of the Church of the Dude. Yeah.
Really?
That's
incredible.
Yep.
That is too cool. That is too cool.
That would be
I mean, I always knew Mike Mace was cool, but that is cool.
So So, yay, brotherly, we are here to make that carpet bring the room all together.
Together, yes. We're just here to make it all tie together.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
My, my, my.
And what was your favorite drink? Oh, yeah, White Russians. Everybody have a White Russian.
There you go. Well, I hope everybody has a good New Year.
Absolutely. And with that said, may I knock on the door of the one, the only, he's there, Mr. Durante.
Absolutely.
Mr. Durante, you're on stage.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Happy New Year.
Good night.
Good night.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and inka-tinka-doo. Good night.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.